Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is John Janik.
Paul Janik.
Chris Hake, the wallet.
From Moneybag Sodas, and you're listening to the Shoutin' Out Loudcast.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
Tom and Zeus.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Bam! That's right. It's season 3 of Dorm Damage, and we're here with episode 47, the show where anything and everything is on the table, and the table gets smashed. We're taking a trip into the sports world this week, Zeus.
Yes, we are. We're going to name our 10 favorite athletes, growing up, now, whatever. Yeah. But our 10 favorite athletes. It's going to be hard because we live in the city of champions, Boston, with so many incredible championships, especially over the last 20 years, and a lot of great players on all team sports. So let's get this thing started. Tom, do you want to go first?
Sure, why not? I'll go first.
All right. All right. Booger?
Well,
Takashi Tashiro.
Well, you took it right out of home because my number 10 is Lamar Luttrell for his limp wristed throwing style in the Olympics.
What about the kid that looked like fucking cotton from Rotzi when he threw the spear right behind the javelin before? And he's got
the
short
when he threw the spear.
I don't know why, but he had the fucking wicked tight.
Yeah.
And these tight little shorts they used to wear on the job.
You know, maybe that'll be a follow-up episode. Our 10 favorite fictional character athletes.
I'm going to go with Frederick Polowalski, Ogre, you asshole, in the belching contest.
I'm going to put fucking Dave Killer Carlson as my number one pick.
What about the mega moves in the fucking arm wrestling contest?
Oh, God. But today's going to be real athletes.
Okay. No Sam Small Print Lyman.
Oh, God.
Andre Poodle Lucier, who's been living in semi-seclusion ever since the tragic Denny Pratt incident. The fucking the guy, the announcer, just shaking his head.
Remember he's just him? Going like, yeah.
Andre Poodle Lucier.
Oh, number 10, I'll go with Willie Mays Hayes.
What about Tuttle, where he runs a donut shop? All right, stop.
All right. This is what happens. All right. So my list is not all hometown athletes. And this is we were talking before we hit record here. My list has been changing like all day, last few days since we picked this topic. So I'm just going to go with my number 10. And it is the greatest pitcher I've ever seen in my entire life, bar none. And that is Pedro, number 10. First of all, not only is the greatest pitcher I've ever seen in my life, but he's a friggin' punk. He's a chief punk.
Who are you? Who are you, Kareem Garcia, to challenge a proven player like me, Pedro Martinez?
I love it. I love it. Yeah, half of my list is a bunch of punks. So I like that.
You people out there listening, you have no idea what it was like. The insanity.
Oh my God.
Of Boston Red Sox baseball in
03-04.
Oh my God. And Pedro pitching day was like an event.
It was Boston. A holiday. Yeah.
It was insane. He was putting in under 2 ERA during the steroid era.
Yep.
Do you remember when he had that all-star game in 99 at Fenway and he struck out fucking murderous row?
Yeah, he struck out like the first four. Yeah, that's what it was. 5 out of 6. Yeah.
And like all major, like.
Yeah, it was the all-star game.
Famers, steroid heads.
One of his greatest games ever was a regular season game against the Yankees where I think he struck out 17 or 18, and it was like, I mean, the guy was fucking insane.
The Yankee dynasty. He struck out
exactly.
17.
Yes. Yeah. He was just incredible.
It was. And he had such a mental killer attitude.
That's why I picked him.
And he just was ferocious.
Yep.
Oh God.
There is nothing I love more than an athlete who can get in your head, that can shit talk without being a total asshole, but backs it up with like Hall of Fame performances. Those are my favorite kind of athletes.
And then he flung fucking John Zimmer.
Oh, geez. He did that fucking ole with his head. Oh my God. I saw that game live. Well, not live, but I was at the Cask and Flagon in Boston across from Fenway watching that.
Gave you the tickets. We were there. I was at that game.
No, we weren't at that. We weren't at that game. We were at the game. No, we were at the game where they lost 19-8.
No, that's the playoff game.
We were not at the Don Zimmer game.
I was at the Don Zimmer
game. Oh, you were.
I thought you said you were there.
Oh, no.
Bill Miller, that was the whole fucking, wasn't that the whole A-Rod in
Veritech?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Bill Miller hit the home run and won the game in like an extra innings or something.
Yes.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
I was at the game. I had Sox season tickets back then.
That's right.
I remember. At that fucking game. It was insane. Fucking insane.
That was, you couldn't miss those events. You couldn't miss them.
Yeah. I've talked enough about Pedro. He definitely was on my list. I'm taking him off my list. Now I can add somebody else. Thanks to you.
There you go. Good.
So I will take somebody else that I'm going to talk about that for me, when baseball was, you know, just below hockey for me. And I fucking loved it. And I'm going to talk about a guy that every time I played an EA Sports team, I always had to put him on my team.
Yep.
I had all his rookie cards and I fucking loved him. He was my favorite player during these times. And he had a nickname called Will the Thrill. And that's Will Clark.
Wow. Murph loved that guy too. I know he was a fan favorite for a lot of people.
Oh, my God. So he played from like 86, 87 to 2000, I think.
Played for the Giants.
The big thing was the Giants.
Yep.
And he was fucking incredible. He had a career 300 average, over 2,000 hits. But he was Gold Glove winner, Silver Slug winner. Just fucking clutch. That was the big thing about him. Just clutch, and he had a swing like no other fucking player at that time. Loved him. And you know, I just for me Will Clark is just my favorite probably non-Red Sox player of all time.
Really? Wow. Okay, interesting.
Yeah,
nice. All right, my number 9 is one of my all-time favorite football players, the quarterback.
Boom, he's on his back.
In my opinion, one of the great quarterbacks to never have won a Super Bowl. No, it's not who you think it is. This guy was doing these kinds of things before it became the norm. Now it's the norm in college. Now you see it a lot more in the pros. And that's Randall Cunningham. When he played for I loved that Eagles team. That 90s Eagles team was probably one of the greatest teams to never have won a Super Bowl. And then Randall goes to Minnesota. And he's quarterbacking with that team, lighting it up with Randy Moss and everything. I've always loved him. The guy was phenomenal, and he was so unlike anybody at that time. And of course, he was QB Eagles in Super Techno Bowl.
Yes, it was insane.
I loved him.
For me, I liked him. I always thought Michael Vick was like Randall Cunningham Part Two.
He was,
but not as good.
Yeah.
Especially thrower. Vick was a better runner, probably, but throwing wise, Randall
Cunningham had it. Yeah, Randall had the combination of it all. Yep.
Yeah. All right. My number nine. Well, number nine for me, I'm going to go with a guy that is synonymous with winning. And he is, I think he got a Presidential Freedom Award. That's how big he is, by Barack Obama. He is probably the only guy that I can think of besides Henri Richard from the Montreal Canadiens, who has more rings than he can put on fingers. And that is the great Bill Russell.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Bill Russell is, to me, the synonymous with champion. Team sport champion. 11 NBA championships during 13-year career.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Remember that Sports Illustrated cover of him holding them all in the palm of his hand?
Yep.
Like he's just got like a handful of rings.
Yeah. I think it was Bob Ryan. When he talks so fast.
Bob Ryan.
He had some saying like he had played like, I don't know, like double digit game seven type win or go home games.
Yep.
And he was undefeated.
Yeah.
Undefeated. Like he won every one of those games.
Now I'm going to be that guy.
Okay.
Who's going to say that the game was not the game that it is now, that the game was so different back then. However, you can only play against who you play against in that era. And that's why no one's ever going to take anything away from him. But dominating games like him and Wilt and those guys did back then it's nothing to sniff at.
So hold on. His number six is jersey is retired throughout the league. He won the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The poor guy went through so much racist shit.
Oh,
he's
God,
a fucking class act.
Yep.
And, you know, led a lot of the civil rights leading. If you see the documentaries on him, you'd be like, wow, what a fucking man. Just a great man. However, the one thing I will say in his defense, Tom, he was what? 6'10"?
Yep.
Okay. And he was going up against the Giants, especially Wilt Chamberlain, and he was beating Will.
Mm-hmm.
And Wilt had fucking size and everything, was the unstoppable offensive force. And he fucking shut him down. And he shut the other big centers down. He just took the fucking main guy out and could win those championships. Just an incredible person. And, I find him to be such a person to be admired more than most on this list. But yeah, my second is Bill Russell.
Okay. My next guy is a basketball player, not a Celtic, but for some reason, I always love this guy. I didn't pick some of the obvious guys for my list. Like, I'm not going to have Jordan on my list because everybody loves Jordan, but I love this guy. He had one of the coolest nicknames ever. He was part of those slam dunk competitions when it was must see TV. And when the Celtics got him, I was like, oh, I'm like, I can't believe the Celtics got him. And of course, when they got him, it was like getting somebody like at the tail end of their career. Yeah. But I'm going, my favorite basketball player, one of my favorite basketball players of all time, the human highlight reel, Dominique Wilkins.
Yeah.
Always fucking love this guy. I always think of that Larry Bird, Dominique Wilkins, the Hawks Celtics game where they were just like having a shootout. The guy was just so awesome. And he just played in an era that's just like you said, when we were growing up, the slam dunk competition in the 3-point shooting, like you didn't miss that. You watched that and it was a big deal.
Yeah. He suffers from the Jordan coming in right after him.
Exactly.
And if Jordan wasn't there, everybody'd be talking about Dominique and his dunking and all that other stuff.
His scoring ability. He was a scorer, but everybody talks about his ability to dunk and all of his finesse and everything. But I love watching that guy. I'll never forget when he came to the Celtics and I was like, oh, the Celtics suck right now.
Oh man. So I'm going to go a little bit off the grid here.
All right.
And this is when the Olympics used to mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking a guy that I don't know if you remember him. His name is Edwin Moses.
Oh, yeah, of course. Absolutely. Guy was friggin' phenomenal.
Him and the fucking hurdles.
Oh, yeah.
It was just synonymous that he just fucking never lost.
Oh, yeah.
So he won the gold in 76 and the 1984 one. I just remember all the hype. I know Lewis got more hype than he did, but I just remember him fucking dominating.
That was insane.
Yeah, he set a bunch of world records. And I remembered, you know, back when you're a little kid and you're watching these things and everything is, you know, there is no ESPN or anything like that. It was like, okay, this is the guy we expect. And when he had his race, you watched his race.
Yep.
And phenomenal nice. Athlete, fucking American Olympic hero.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan. And Edwin Moses, number 8 for me.
All right. Number 7 for me. One of my all-time favorite athletes, particularly when I was young and playing hockey. This guy just recently passed. And one of the best pure scorers the game has ever seen. Part of one of the great dynasties of all time in the 80s. Love the guy. And that is Mike Bossy, number 7.
Number 22, the New York Islanders. I think the Bruins almost grabbed him, but they picked Dwight Foster.
Yeah, good move. Now Bossy played at a time when you could get like Bruins tickets. Like the Bruins were obviously good in the 80s.
Yeah.
But those are the games where you could get tickets. They weren't expensive. And I remember talking to my dad and being like, "Dad, Mike Boss, the New York Islanders are coming to the Garden. Can we go see?" I didn't care about the Bruins. I wanted to see Mike Boss.
Yeah, you want to see those guys.
Yeah, exactly. And I just remember that. And he was incredible. So the game that I was at when the New York Islanders came to the Garden to play the Bruins was at the time the record for the fastest goal scored from the start of a game. Brian Trottier scored 5 seconds after the puck dropped. And I'll never forget me and my dad being like, "What the fuck?"
Those are the fantastic ones. You go to a football game, they kick off, it's fucking returned. You're like, "Well, you didn't sit down yet. What the fuck?"
But see, it's funny. Those are two record-setting games I went to with my dad. One was this, and another one was when I saw the Patriots play the Vikings with Drew Bledsoe, and Bledsoe set the record for most pass attempts in a game. He threw like 72 passes or something.
Yeah, and I think 62 of them went to Ben Coates.
Exactly, yes. Yes. Yep.
I'll read you something real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
His rookie year, he had 53 goals when nobody was doing that shit.
Nobody was doing that.
69 goals, 51, 68, 64, 60, 51, 58, 61. Yep. His last year in the NHL, because he had injuries, he only played 63 games, he had 38 goals, and then he retired.
Yep.
If not for Wayne Gretzky, everything would be Mike Bossy.
Yep.
Nobody does these fucking kind of numbers that he was putting up. And he was just overshadowed in the era, but he won 4 fucking cups.
That's right. And he was also known as just like everybody loved him. He was just like a nut. Like when pure goal scorer. When he passed away, the accolades for him, like the tributes to him, the kind of guy that he was, not just the player that he was. Yeah, just love the guy. Pure sniper shooter score.
Yeah, and he stepped up huge in like the playoffs and stuff.
Yeah.
2 Canada Cups. He had 11 points, 9 points in 7 and 8 games respectively. Like he fucking always stepped up. He wasn't just like, you know, during the playoffs, he just fucking went silent. Love Mike Bossy. Loved him.
Nice.
All right, Tom. So this would be my number 7. And that is somebody that you know well and loved as well. And I just think is my favorite of all time boxer. Uh-oh. And that's Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Fucking baddest motherfucker out there.
I thought you were going to say Bald Bull or Piston Hurricane.
Soda Popinski.
Oh, you mean Tony Dungy?
Yeah, exactly. The middleweight champion, he fucking dominated his era.
Yeah. Yep.
Dominated. And the fact that he got robbed by that pussy, Sugar Ray Leonard, in that fight is like the biggest travesty of all time, because he fucking beat him and that pussy would just run away.
Yep.
Oh, fucking hated it. But his fight with Tommy Hearns is like the greatest fucking boxing match of all time. Two warriors head to head, fucking going at it like badass motherfuckers, and they were just incredible. That era of middle class fighters between Hearns, Hagler, Leonard,
incredible,
and fucking Roberto Duran.
Yep,
all these guys.
Roberto Duran was oh my god. And I know our younger listeners are, you know, like two old men here, but that's, again, we keep saying it, that's when boxing, like, that was appointment viewing with these guys, these fights.
Yeah. So I fucking love Marvin Hagler, and he got fucking robbed, but his legacy is still the baddest fucking guy in the 80s.
Okay. Love it. Love it. All right. My number six, one of my all time favorite baseball players, another guy who can absolutely shit talk with the best of them. He has like a friggin' book of quotes, cause he loved referring to himself in the third person. Of course, had to play for the Yankees, but I got a bunch of his rookie cards from the A's. The guy used to steal bases when that was the only thing that mattered. And the Ricky Henderson. And I loved watching this guy play. The guy was the ultimate friggin' leadoff hitter. But as I'm making my list, I'm like, I got to look up some of Ricky Henderson's quotes, because he had a thing for always referring to himself in the third person. And one of my favorite Ricky Henderson quotes, remember in like the 80s and even in the 90s, people would hold up those John 316 signs. And I remember somebody like said something to Ricky Henderson about that. He goes, I don't want to hear about John hitting 316. Ricky's hitting 330.
He had a quick stint with the Sox at the end of his career.
That's right. Yeah. And of course, just like Dominique Wilkins, you get him at the tail end.
Yeah.
But I love amazing. That guy. His numbers. I mean, nobody steals bases anymore like that. But even just leadoff average, even home runs, the guy was just money. He had an attitude.
Did you ever hear the story of him and John Olerud?
Oh, about the helmet?
Yeah. They ended up on the same team years later again. He goes, you wear a helmet when you play in the field? I used to have a teammate used to do that. He goes, yeah, I know. That was me.
He's so stupid.
That was fucking great. I loved Ricky. He was fucking fantastic.
Yep.
All right, Tom. So for me, I think this is number six.
Yes.
I'm going to go with my favorite baseball player of all time growing up. Late 70s and 80s, and that's Jim Ed Rice.
Yes, almost made my list. Fucking if you're our age, you wanted to. That was the guy that you were when you were playing like wiffle ball with your friends.
Although sometimes mistaken for Jim Boyd from ABC TV WCVB,
I'm still convinced it's not the same person.
It's the same.
The exact same person.
The only like black people on TV in Boston area was Jim Rice
and Jim Boyd.
Jim Boyd from WCVB. God. Anyways, Jim Rice was just the most feared hitter from like 78 to like 83.
Yep.
I would say those 5 years, the most feared hitter in baseball.
Oh, absolutely.
Fucking incredible. He would hit over 300, 35 home runs, 100 RBIs, and nobody was doing that shit consistently.
Oh. Yep.
Now, he was the slowest black baseball player of all time for some reason.
He could not move.
No, he was the double fucking play king. Yep. Defensively, you know, he played the wall decent.
Yep.
But being stuck out in left field does not mean you're a good baseball defender. But didn't matter. Jim Rice was there for the bat. When he came up, it was like appointment time. I want to see Jim Rice get up at the plate.
And it was, and he was putting up numbers that was like pre-steroid era. Like he was doing like, he was like challenging like triple crown type numbers when guys really weren't doing that consistently.
That 78 year.
Oh, even, yeah, that year.
When
yeah.
he had over 400 total bases.
Yep.
He was the MVP.
Yep.
8-time All-Star. Look at the statistic. He joined Ty Cobb as one of the two players in the American League in total bases 3 years in a row. He batted over 307 times, collected 100 RBIs 8 times, yep. had 200 hits 4 times, 20-plus home runs 11 times, led the league in home runs 3 times, RBIs, slugging percentage twice. Like, you could fucking go on. And that couple years of him with Freddie Lynn and Dwight oh. Evans out there was the best Red Sox outfield probably of all time. Incredible. Yep. And he had that tradition of Ted Williams in left field, replaced by Carl Yastrzemski, replaced by Jim Rice, which is incredible.
The other thing he had in common with Ty Cobb is that he was also an asshole.
He was not.
Oh, he was. He was a sourpuss, dude. He didn't get a personality until he became a broadcaster covering the Sox games.
Two fucking things I think of Jim Rice. When he took that fucking line, somebody hit a line drive and hit the poor little kid.
That's right.
Because the kid wasn't going to get medical attention, he jumped in the stands
and carried the kid.
And carried the kid to get medical attention.
I remember
that. The other one I heard is, didn't he fucking hit a ball and hit a blind lady once? What the fuck is a blind lady at the baseball game?
Well, she didn't see it coming, so.
But, and I used to always remember when he was became the hitting coach for the Red Sox.
Yep.
And Remy would be doing the games. And like they'd get all fired up, and like benches would start clearing. Be like, oh, somebody's getting Jim upset. Somebody get him out of there. You don't want to mess with Jim. Like, yes, he was a mad motherfucker.
Oh, he Jim was Rice. Awesome. So
fucking
good.
Love him. Love
yep.
him.
Yep. All right. And that's our first five. We're going to take a quick break right here, and then we're going to finish our list.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment of Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/Pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, now we're going to get to our top five. So this guy is regarded as one of the great athletes of all time because he was a dual sport athlete. I saw him in person when he played baseball for the Kansas City Royals at Fenway. And he's also regarded as probably the greatest video game athlete of all time. I'm going with, of course, Bo Jackson. Kids, young people out there, if you don't know who Bo Jackson was in the whole Bo Knows ad campaign with Nike, my God. And I'll tell you right now, I remember specifically where I was. I was in my bedroom watching the AFC playoff game between the Bengals and the Raiders when Bo Jackson had that hip injury, which ended his career. That guy, kids, go watch highlight films of him playing baseball, of him playing football. The guy could have been the friggin' greatest running back in the history of the NFL if he never got hurt.
Do you remember how big Boz was and he just fucking ran him over?
I was just going to say, go on YouTube and search Bo Jackson, Brian Bosworth.
Oh, incredible. And then there goes that guy's career after that happened.
incredible.
How about the ones he's got stuff like where he fucking threw out, I think it was Harold Reynolds at home plate from way the fuck out there. And like Reynolds got thrown out. He looks back like, what the fuck did I get thrown out? Like,
I was just going to say that. Google that. Watch Bo's. It's like a fucking slingshot. I don't know how the ball, and it doesn't even bounce. I think it's like a straight throw.
I'm not even sure if I remember this correctly, but wasn't he like not sliding? Cause he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. He thought it was going to be like a stand up score or something or whatever. Yeah.
And then there's the other one where he runs up the wall and he gets where he gets all this speed and he runs up on the wall or the other one where he gets upset and he breaks the bat in his fucking hands.
I think in retrospect, I think Bo might've been using some supplemental health products. Insane. Yeah. He was fucking awesome. Yep.
Oh, love yes. him. All right, Tom, we're getting down to the nitty gritty.
Yep.
All right. So for me, when I think of athletes, I love thinking of confident, cocky fucking guys.
Me too.
That can back it up.
Me too.
Is there a bigger fucking trash talker, back it up guy than Larry Bird?
There you go. I knew it. Of course.
Oh, I just, like, there were times when Bird was playing in his greatness. They were saying he was the greatest player of all time. Saying he's the greatest Celtic of all time. The greatest player. Yep. He could do everything. He could. In his prime, he was hitting like 30 fucking points, 9 rebounds, like 5 or 6 assists, fucking 2 steals, a block.
Diving for balls and just going just crazy.
Yep. Clutch. If you want to have fun, go on YouTube and go watch videos of Bird trash talk. All these NBA greats going, Larry's like, dude, what the fuck you doing, man? You put that white guy on me? I'm going to fucking embarrass you with that shit. Or like, they're going to give me the ball and I'm just going to go in the corner and hit it.
Yep.
And they would give him the ball. He'd go in the corner and he'd fucking hit it. Or videos of him like telling Casey Jones, just shut the fuck up and give me the ball.
Shut up and just, exactly. Put the fucking grease board down. I'm just going to fucking shoot the ball.
And if that, I mean, if he's not like a caricature of himself, if that cheap fuck.
Yeah.
Didn't fucking like do his driveway, whatever he did for his mother, because he didn't want to pay for it, and injure his back. There was a couple championships there, especially if Lenny Bias never died.
Oh, easily.
But he injured his back because he was too cheap to do the fucking landscaping or some fucking driveway or something himself.
And he fucked up his back.
Yep. And legendary cheapskate. Ever hear Barkley talk about them during the Olympics? Fucking the Dream Team shits, hilarious stories. But Larry Bird just made Celtics pride something real during the 80s. There was, he's another one, like Pedro, Larry Bird game.
Yep, you didn't miss it.
The Lakers.
Yep. Oh,
just
fucking awesome. Yep. All right, number four, you talked about Marvelous Marvin Hagler. I'm talking about another boxer here. Guy who's a psycho, fucking lunatic. People think of him now. They don't even think of his boxing. But when his career started, he's the one who looked like a bulldog. Fucking, I'm going with Tyson. I don't care. That guy, every fight was a friggin' street fight. Kids, again, listen to Uncle Zeus and Uncle Tom. Go on YouTube and Google Mike Tyson highlights. He used to bludgeon people until Buster Douglas somehow miraculously beat him. Nobody knows how to do that.
I
remember watching the Holyfield fight on pay-per-view and he ripped his ear off. He bit his ear. Like, but even before that, he used to just kill people. And he was a short little dude, but he was fearless and he was loose on the head.
Michael Spinks. I'll never forget the hype. I would root against Tyson. I didn't like him.
Yeah.
I didn't like him at all. And I was like, oh, Michael Spinks is going to get him. Michael Spinks, he's a Spinks brother. He's going to, and fucking 1 minute flat, he's like, I ain't getting up after fucking hit.
Yeah, they used to say his punches were like a sledgehammer. Like, you couldn't recover from it.
Yes.
And I think Buster Douglas won because he was a big, fat dude.
Tyson had so many things going on. He didn't prepare for that fight.
No.
And this guy is just a 1 in a million. He fucking never know.
Yep.
All right, my number four is a guy that I watched before he became professional. And to do this in hockey is something that is off the charts, because there's only a handful of phenomenal players and prospects that you remember when you hear about them before they hit pros. Mario Lemieux, Sidney Crosby, and this guy, probably called the next one, and that is Eric Lindros.
Oh, yeah.
Number 88 for the Flyers. Just a fucking monster.
Yep.
First of all, the controversy of him getting drafted by Quebec, and he's like, I'm not his father. Like, hey, no, he ain't playing for no Quebec. Quebec then makes the trade to Philly. Philly gives them what amounted to a king's ransom. It's the fucking Dallas Cowboys.
Herschel Walker trade. Herschel
Walker deal.
Yep.
And set up the Nordiques, which the next year became Colorado Avalanche, and then they win the cup.
That's right. Yep.
Unfucking believable the amount of players they got for him. He was such a stud playing. He was 6 foot five, 240 pounds, could skate like the wind, and had Mark Messier type of hands. Phenomenal player, first overall. Unfortunately, injuries and concussions.
Concussions, yeah. I remember the concussion thing.
And Scott Stevens would be banned in the league if he was doing the shit he's doing now, the stuff he was doing then, catching people going across the line with their heads down, running people's heads through the wall. The guy is phenomenal. And he ended up becoming an MVP one year. I'll never forget the year that he brought the Flyers to the cup and he out-muscled Messier for the fucking loose puck and scored the winning goal and knocked them out. And I'm like, wow, that's a change in the guard. Unfortunately, injuries and stuff hurt his career, and he was never really able to kind of continue doing that. But for a few years, he was the most dominant player I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's I hate, like, kind of even when I was talking about, like, Bo, you hate seeing like generational talents just get their career cut short by injuries. It sucks, because you're right. Lindros was just primed to just be. I mean, the guy was like a specimen. Like, he was incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. The remember the Legion of Doom, that line he had?
Oh, yeah.
Michael Renberg and John LeClair. Everybody was like 6 foot four and above.
Yep.
Fucking one of the greatest lines of all time.
Yep.
Anyway. Yeah, Eric Lindros, one of my favorite hockey players of all time. Never lived up to as great as he could have been, but for a few years was just off the charts.
Yeah. Number three, I mean, we could probably do an episode on him, but we're just going to say him. Greatest athlete, greatest winner I've ever seen with my own eyes. Saw every game he ever played, every Super Bowl that he ever won, and of course, it's Brady. He's not number one or number two, because my number one and two will never move. But Brady at number three, I mean, what the hell else can you say? He's the greatest.
Yeah, I'm with you on Tom. He would have been on my list. You took him, so I didn't take him. There's a few guys like that. If I took him, you didn't take him. We wanted to make sure our list had more people to talk about.
Yep.
So, yeah, Tom Brady is just now everyone knows from college and all of my friends from high school stuff that I'm a big Michigan guy. So when he won it in Michigan, Brady was already on my radar. And then he got drafted by the Pats. But I still loved Bledsoe.
Me too. So I loved Bledsoe.
When he first took over that first year and they won the Super Bowl, I was still hoping they'd put Bledsoe in for the Super Bowl.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. Bledsoe almost made this list we're talking about right here. I love that guy.
Yeah, Bledsoe, unfortunately, is another guy. Mike Bossy during a Wayne Gretzky era.
Exactly.
For Pats fans, that is.
Because
we weren't having quarterbacks ever.
No,
could be talked about when Bledsoe was at the Pats, and but Brady comes in, just winner,
and he got better.
Yeah.
It's hard to talk about him because, I mean, his ability, his leadership, his talent, his skill, his refusal to lose. Like, he has every cliche. Like, intangible on top of the physical ability.
Team player.
Yeah, exactly.
More than anything, a lot of you guys don't probably realize this about him. The reason why the Pats would always be fucking right there with him is because he never took like top three quarterback, top five, maybe sometimes top 10 quarterback money.
Nope.
He would always renegotiate his contract so the Pats would have money left over to sign players.
That's right.
Always. He was never one of the highest until the end. It got a little contentious in him and Belichick about, all right, now you got to fucking pay
me. Now you got to pay me, bitch.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we knew what happened afterwards. But just a classic. Plus, he was banging Giselle for fucking years.
And he was with Bridget Moynihan, who was hot.
Yeah.
She was cute.
Yeah. He was just, it's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So I always like to think that Boston could put at one point the best in their sport on Mount Rushmore.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
Bobby Orr, Tom Brady, Ted Williams. And then maybe you could say either Russell or Bird on Mount Rushmore.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you'd have very few people arguing with that Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays Russell would have a bigger thing than Bird, but regardless, that's how great he is. But there's nobody taking over the Mount Rushmore in football than Tom Brady. I'm sorry.
No. Yeah. Nope. Not at all.
All right, Tom, to talk to you about, again, Michigan. You know him. I've got his jersey from college still hanging up behind me.
I knew
My favorite basketball player. When I was younger, I wanted to go to Michigan. My mind was Michigan. Michigan sports are great. Desmond Howard, all this stuff. And then all of a sudden came the Fab Five.
Yep.
And this bald, fucking good-looking center who was the talk of the fucking, like, this guy's going to be a number one pick overall. And that was Chris Webber.
Mm-hmm.
Just, he changed a lot of that position. That power forward that could score 24, 25 points, but also have like 6 or 7 assists.
Oh, yeah.
And boards.
Yep.
And then could change his game to step outside and hit a three.
Yep.
Nobody was doing that. He could handle the ball and bring it up like a fucking guard, which is why I always give fucking Jalen Rose shit for that. He never should have fucking had the ball to be carrying it up. Jalen Rose ran away and he took the ball, and that's why he called the fucking timeout.
Oh, that fucking dude, that fucking timeout. Ugh.
He said people were telling him from the bench, timeout. So he fucking called it up. Yep. Regardless, they weren't going to win. They were down by 3. Everyone fucking, he lost it. They weren't going to win.
He didn't lose it. Yeah, he didn't lose it. He
fucking wouldn't be anywhere without him. But anyways, Chris Webber, and in addition to this, was my favorite player on NBA Live. If you put the ball in 94-95 to the guy down low with Chris Webber, NBA Live, fucking guaranteed. That's when fucking sports games were just at their best. Oh, my God. I fucking loved it. Then he goes to the Wizards and has a dominant team there after Golden State. And then he has a career over at the Kings.
Yep.
Fucking loved him.
Yeah, and I knew he'd make your list.
Yeah, Chris Webber is just my favorite basketball player after Bird.
Yeah. All right, my top two are easy. They were never going to move. Number two for me, I get into arguments with people about this all the time. Greatest football player I've ever seen, well, besides Brady, because Brady was a quarterback. But I know people are in the Jerry Rice camp, and I get it. I'm not going to take anything away from him. But there was nobody who created more nightmares, who was more of a matchup disaster, who you had to game plan for. You had to structure your defensive arrangement and alignment and game plan around him. And that is Randy Moss. And when Randy Moss came to the Patriots and led them to that undefeated season, except, of course, in the friggin' Super Bowl, when he scored 23 touchdowns, like, this fucking guy is just untouchable. And one of the greatest stat lines in the history of any game I've ever seen in my entire life is the Thanksgiving Day game from 1998 when the Vikings, and Randall Cunningham was the quarterback, the Vikings played the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. And Randy Moss had 3 catches for 163 yards. Every catch was a touchdown. The guy averaged 55 yards a catch, and everyone was a touchdown. I mean, the guy was absolutely off the rails. I know the Jerry Rice people out there, and there might even be people out there that say there's like someone else that I'm not mentioning. But for my money, the most entertaining skill player that I've ever seen was Randy Moss. And I love the guy. And I love that he had a career in broadcasting. You know, he didn't turn into a complete punk like some of these other, you know, big time diva wide receivers. He was a punk when he played, but he backed it up. And yeah, I love the guy.
Yeah, when he came to New England is when I really got to appreciate him.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Fantastic. Just incredible. Just gifted athlete.
Yep. Yep.
All right, Tom. My number two is a hockey player, and that is the incredible number 11, Marc Messier.
Oh, he almost made my list.
He was my favorite non-Bruins player of all time.
Yep.
I don't know where to begin about his accolades. 6'2" center / left wing. And, you know, he was winning Conn Smythe with Gretzky on the team, meaning exactly. The playoff MVP with Gretzky. Gretzky leaves, he still wins a cup.
Yep.
With the Oilers after Gretzky leaves. He then goes on to be the only guy that can ever make the loser New York Rangers win a cup. And I actually love that team, the 94 New York Rangers. And of course, the NHL fucked it up. That was the greatest season. They had the game where they were down three games to two to New Jersey. He guarantees the win. What does he go out and do? Score the two big goals and win the fucking game. Mm-hmm. They go on to play seven games against Vancouver and he wins the cup. Just incredible. He's the only player to ever captain two teams to a Stanley Cup win. Yep. He was the last play because he played 25 fucking years. He's like, I think, third all time in scoring. He was the last player to play professional in any sports from the 70s when he retired.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 50 goals a bunch of times. He is considered such a great leader that they created the Marc Messier Award in NHL for best like leader and character.
Yep.
Which is awarded obviously in his name and honor. Incredible numbers, incredible career. I think in the end, he ended up with six Stanley Cups, couldn't fit them all in one hand in the modern day kind of era. He horrendous analysts right now on ESPN. Fucking just one of those guys, like, you know, maybe was great on the ice, but explaining the game, oh, God.
Not good.
No. It's like Joe Montana when he was doing like fucking analysis, right? Yeah. It's just brutally bland.
Yeah,
but Marc Messier, a fucking warrior, a leader, a tough guy, a scorer, a fucking checker, a defensive player, a offensive player, all around incredible player.
Yep, I agree. He almost made my list. He almost made my list. And this is going to be interesting. Because my number one is, if I think I know who your number one is, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But my number one was the teammate of your number two.
Yeah.
He's been my favorite athlete since I was old enough to know who he was. And I know that there's people like to say the greatest player of all time, but to me, it's Gretzky. I'll give you, or we could talk about that if you want to at some other time. But Wayne Gretzky is my all-time favorite athlete ever. The numbers, what he did is, you can't even do what he did in video games. I mean, my favorite stat of all time is that if Gretzky never scored a goal, he would still be the NHL all-time point leader.
Yeah, I know.
That is such a ridiculous stat. And I know the game was different. We all know the game was different. But, I mean, the only guy to score over 200 points, did it four times, scored 100 points in 13 consecutive seasons. When he retired, he had 61 NHL records, 40 regular season records, 15 playoff records, 6 all-star records. One season, he scored 47 playoff points in 18 playoff games. I mean, the numbers that he put up, I mean, he scored 92 goals one year. I mean, even as a kid, when he was like playing like youth hockey, there was like a season where he scored like 300 goals on his team.
That's the pot.
Exactly. I mean, he just, and I will never forget the day he got traded to the LA Kings. I was He changed the sport. I was devastated. Now, thankfully, the Kings continued to do well, and you know, and he made it to the Cup Finals with them and everything. But I those Oilers teams, oh god! And like you said, Messier was right there. But all those guys, Paul Coffey, Yari Curry, Glenn Anderson, obviously, you know, Grant Fuhr, just that entire team. That's when I couldn't get enough hockey. I loved it, and Gretzky's always been my guy.
Yeah, yeah. And this ought to be fun because my number one is the guy that's better than him.
I knew you were going to say it, and I'm so glad.
And that's Bobby Orr.
I love it. The Boston Bruins
defenseman just changed everything. There was hockey before Bobby Orr and hockey after Bobby Orr, more so than Gretzky. Gretzky was a forward. Gretzky also just jumped up Bobby Orr statistics, but nobody was doing what Bobby Orr was doing.
Yep.
Only defenseman to score 9 hat tricks. Only defenseman to win the fucking leading scorer. Only player ever to win the Norris, the Art Ross, the Hart Trophy, the Conn Smythe Trophy in one season. He won the Art Ross Trophy twice, actually. Yep. He first player to record 100 assists in a game. Highest single season plus minus rating. 124. A plus 124. You have any idea how ridiculous that is?
Now hold on. Now you'll know this answer here. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was that back when they used to count power plays on with plus minus? No. Okay.
He's second overall with 597.
Yep.
Career. Never finished less than plus 30. Fourth in the league in career point per game. He's a defenseman, by the way.
Yep.
And just, I mean, I don't know where to talk about rookies of the years, NHL All-Star, how many fucking Norris trophies he won in a row. And the saddest thing is Brad Park, the great Ranger Bruins defenseman, was always runner-up to him during that era.
Always. Yeah, just, no one even talks about poor Brad Park.
Yeah, he won the Hart Trophy 70, 71, and 72. That's insane.
Yep.
Considered one of the classiest professional athletes of all time. Always there with a smile, always signing autographs, always doing charity work. In addition to that, his goal in the 1970 Stanley Cup is the most famous goal, even though it was like a fucking 4-0 series win, but it's the most famous goal where he trips and dives in the air and scores the winning goal.
And they got the statue outside the garden of it. It's magnificent.
But just as Bo Jackson, just as Eric Lindros and a few others, bad injuries fucking limited him.
Yep.
And he barely played 9 years. And unfortunately, we didn't get to see him going. I mean, the career he could have had if he was healthy would have been insane. Insane. Yeah. And he would have overlapped with Gretzky had he not been injured.
Probably.
Because he was like 30 when he retired.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's like 78, 79.
That's right.
He came into the league, the WHA and stuff.
That's right, in the late 70s. Yep, yeah. He came to Edmonton.
So they would have actually had a few years against each other.
Yeah.
So that would have been fantastic. It's just watching the video, seeing the fucking historic goals he would score. Bobby Orr changed hockey forever. He changed the state of Massachusetts.
Oh my God, dude. Anybody will tell you about it. Hockey rinks were popping up everywhere. Everybody wanted to play hockey.
The MDC rinks that were hockey rinks that were created in the New England area.
Oh my God.
Because of Bobby Orr. And people still say to this day that 1980 Olympic team, the Miracle on Ice, were like half of them from Boston, all pick up skates because of Bobby Orr.
Because of Bobby Orr.
The local rinks. And he changed everything. That Boston Bruins team in this city could be easy top three most popular fucking sports team that could go anywhere in town and be celebrated. That team, the 2004 Red Sox, and then I would also put in maybe the that first Pats team, maybe
the first Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl Pats team. Those teams. What about the 67 impossible dream? Fuck yourself. Anyway, Bobby Orr for me.
But you're right. If anybody's going to get into an argument with me about Gretzky, the only argument I will have would be Bobby Orr.
Yeah, I mean, those three, Those two, I would throw in Mario Lemieux. And then probably maybe like a Gordie Howe would be the Mount Rushmore of hockey.
Yes. Yep.
You know, just incredible.
Well, and maybe Harold Sneps.
Yes.
Yes.
Harold Sneps.
Yes.
What a great fucking discussion. What a great list.
Love it.
Hope you guys enjoyed. Till next time. Peace out, Girl Scout.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com. Code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.